Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And if you're just listening or learning about this show for the very first time, please know that it is on the air for you, and we do so by bringing on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain. Now, our goal for each show is to bring answers and options to making your lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And remember, if you can't listen live, go to our website at answers.network and browse through a variety of heartfelt and enlightening topics. I am confident that there is something you will find that will bring greater joy to your life. Now, I also have a favor to ask. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference in the world together. Now, our topic today is a term that I didn't know until I started reading about it. It is metronomics, one united system to grow up your team, company, and life. So think about it. As a business leader or someone who plans to be a business leader, you've read and you've listened to dozens of books by the top thought leaders. You're learning from their research, their principles, and their tools. Each book, podcast, or masterclass dives deep into a specific area of expertise: strategy, execution, profitability, the people, the culture, and your leadership. All share powerful concepts on what to do to grow your business. But how do you effectively unite these tools into a regimen that works for not just one specific area of your business, but for your entire team, company, and life? Well, our guest, Shannon Burns-Susko, has spent over 25 years building, iterating, and innovating what we now know as metronomics, a system utilized by hundreds of coaches and thousands of companies of all sizes around the world. Now, after using the system as a CEO for decades, coaching it to thousands of leaders, and training coaches how to teach it to others, Shannon has spent the last 2 years writing this book, which for the first time makes metronomics accessible to everyone looking for the silver bullet that will grow up your company. Now, Shannon is the author of two other best-selling business books, The Three Hag Way, 2018, and I'm going to have a question of what that means, and The Metronome Effect in 2014. She is also the founder and CEO of Metronome United, a community of more than 80 coaches worldwide who use the system every day to create lasting impact for their clients, teams, and communities. Shannon, welcome to Answers Network.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I've enjoyed reading the book, and I felt like, why didn't I read this about 30 years ago?
Yeah, that's when I wanted that book as well. We searched for it for sure, you know, yeah. And we could not find it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things is you discuss in your book the sort of the practical application approach rather than the concepts that can drive every aspect of your business from challenged to taking on all challengers. Can you clarify this approach? Because I didn't know that I fully grasped it.
Yeah. So, you know, we were so, you know, literally 25 years ago, we were looking for this book. We said, look, others have had such success, repeated success. There must be a framework, a formula. You know, we're looking for it. So we read a lot of books, as many business leaders do. We read books constantly. And so we take the pieces out of the book, we put it into our company, we sort of focus on it. And then you might forget about it. It may not connect back. What we found is that we were learning from the greatest thought leaders out there, you know, the Jim Collins, the Pat Lencionis, Michael Porter, strategy, Brad Smart, you know, all about top grading and those systems. But what we found is that we would focus in on just that and sort of forget about all the other pieces. And they gave us the what, but not the how to connect it back. And so we, you know, within our own practice and business, we, you know, put this into our first business, second business, third business, fourth business, I can say fifth business. Yeah. And we've had hundreds and thousands of businesses today now use this formula with the same success we had. And the formula is, it's a prescriptive, and that sounds terrible in business, prescriptive progression that actually grows with the team, and it allows us to balance what we're looking to get out of our high performing team, and it balances up with the business strategy, execution, and cash. And the key to it is that it is glued together through some really human pieces that we all know today in our businesses, but we didn't have it laid out to say, do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, a little recipe, you know, and the recipe progresses. And so metronomics is what we were looking for and what we have found over, you know, the last couple of years, but I'd say the last 12 years I've been coaching CEO plus leadership teams is most teams want this. You know, they want a way to see a path to what they set out to achieve. And metronomics gives you that path, lining up all the key systems in our business. And there's seven systems.
Well, if you can share some of the systems and think about it from the standpoint that the people that have chosen to listen are either leaders that are involved in businesses that for whatever reason is not going exactly the way that they would like, or it's been affected by the pandemic, or some of our young people just out of college that are going, I'm going to be a leader and I'm going to run a business, but could use a little input in regards to how they can get there.
Yeah. So if I can just start with, I want to tell you a little bit more about the systems involved, but I want to sort of pick up on, you know, why these systems exist, where they came from, and where we were when we really felt we needed this solution. When we were stuck, we were 4 years into our first business. It's 1998, seems like, you know, so long ago, but we were stuck. We had been venture back funded. We had good funding in 98. We had a global market opportunity. We actually had the solution already built. You know, like line all those up, you go check, 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 check. But we also grew from 0 to 100 people that year. Right. That sounds like a fairy tale. And why would you say like we're stuck? That sounds pretty good. Maybe people are thinking, that sounds pretty good. But where we were stuck is we were going to plateau and maybe even go down the other side of the mountain that we just climbed if we couldn't figure out how to align our team's behavior. And that sounds like, okay, you know, we have a strategy, we have cash, we've got an execution, but we needed to align it. And when I think of a wartime CEO to a good time CEO, I always think about it this way. And I always ask people, like, what's the difference? And in our world, there is no difference. In our world, a wartime CEO or a good time CEO has to have the same fundamentals in place. And metronomics supports that. So you need to have the foundation, which is our cultural system, core purpose, core values, you know, core competencies, you know, founded by the CEO. And then if we're thinking about this, you know, we build it up, then we need to have a cohesive system and a human system. Cohesive system is all about ensuring that we have, you know, trust, healthy conflict, we're committed, accountable to all those things. We need to have that in a team of 2 or a team of 100 or a team of 1,000. The third system is the human system. And this is clarity of expectations of when you show up every day. You know what you need to actually contribute to the team. When you go from a 0 to 100 people, or you're just starting out a business of 2, or you have 1,000 people, you still need clarity of how you're going to interact with the rest of the team. What position do you own? What's the measure of your success and what you're accountable for? At the very top of the house, you know, when we think of systems and we build this up, we have the team in place. And most of, you know, anyone listening in, you have a team in place, like we had a team in place. But then we had to think about what goes on. What are the other systems? If we had those in place, we still weren't going to win our game. We talk about games a lot. We're going to win our game. So in the middle of the house, the other three systems, we have the strategy system, the most talked about word ever in business, but maybe the least understood. I'm going to be provocative around that. There's execution system. How do we get this done every day together? We know exactly what each other's doing. And then our cash system. And the cash system, you know, when I think about the cash system, that's our ability to forecast cash first and do it every day. It sounds ridiculous. Day, week, month, quarter, year. And that's why I go all the way back around to where I started that, is that we learned this being in a wartime. And I was a wartime CEO quite a few times as the markets ebbed and flowed over the last 20 years. But this was what we did every day. We did this all the time. We made sure the core purpose, the long-term goals, the near-term goals, the annual goals, the 90-day goals, consistent communication, over-communicate, and we made sure our cash is king. And metronomics, those systems that I talked about, they're a way that you can just step each one each day. There's a human behavioral progression. And that's what I love about it, because it will meet any team in any place that they're in, whether they're in a good time or a wartime.
So as you were saying that, I was starting to envision, because I love the idea of communication, but I was envisioning a lot of meetings. How do you balance the communication aspect of it with this concept that at sometimes businesses get to the point to where you're over meeting and you're not really achieving as much as you are.
Yeah.
So how do you balance those two?
So, you know, if someone just looked at, you know, that piece of our system, someone might step back and go, wow, that's a lot of meetings. But the difference that we found and that we learned is that if we have clarity of the position that each person's playing in our organization in a meeting, and there's clarity of the plan, that's long-term, near-term, now kind of plan, where we're going, and we have a consistent meeting cadence. You know, I recommend, it came out of Rockefeller Habits many years ago, daily, so 15 minutes every day, mm-hmm. weekly, with your team, with that clarity, monthly, quarterly, and annually. Now, a lot of people avoid the daily, for sure. A lot of people want to go to a bi-weekly. It's like, whoa, it's really hard. And I think of it as playing the game on the field. And I'll take football. It's a great one. Like, every football team huddles before every play, right? And so we think of every play as one of our days. And so we need a quick huddle. It usually takes less than 15 minutes. It's a standing agenda, and it's focused in on what we said we would do on the plan. So if we understand what our role is, we have a plan in front of us, and we have a consistent cadence. Now, for me, back, you know, 98, when we started putting this in place, that daily huddle gave me back 40 hours in my work week as a leader. Wow. 40 hours in my work week. Because, and you know, it actually removed that late night looking at all your emails. Oh, I got to answer everybody. All the voicemails, you know, any texts you're getting, like, you're on this, like, this treadmill. And it got me off the treadmill, because we got the leaders together every day for 15 minutes to just, you know, go through the agenda. The agenda, it sounds ridiculous. I'm going to explain it. There's four things. It was good news. Good news every day. Bring good news. Second thing was metrics. Everyone owns a metric. Everyone's got a score, and it's connected to the overall team score. You want to say it every day. You want to say the number one thing you're going to get done in the next 24 hours. And then you bring any stucks, any questions, anything around the plan that may be going really well or not so well, so we can talk about it and solve it in the day. And so it speeds up our communication and actually reduces meetings.
I like that. So what you're saying, what I'm taking that as, is that if you have more productive, smaller meetings, you may not need to have some of those ones that might be less productive, but yet involve a lot more people.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that makes that meeting successful, and I would say for any meeting, frankly, but is the preparation, that you know what the agenda is. That agenda never changes. Hasn't changed for me since 1998. Still use that agenda, but you can prepare for the meeting based on that agenda. And we know, you know, it takes a long time to write a short letter. Well, you know, you got to prepare for a short meeting, right? So it gets mm-hmm. everybody involved. And, you know, we prep, like before teams that I coach, before they leave every day, most have gone on to Metronome Growth Systems as a platform we use. They go in, they fill out their daily huddle, good news, metric. They say the number one thing and they talk about, you know, their whatever they're stuck on. But it's usually done before they get in the next day. And it means that we're connecting, you know, more than once. People are owning what they said they would do.
Makes sense to me. We've got a question that's coming in, a listener question, and this one reads, we're having a very difficult time keeping our online and local business afloat because of supply chain issues, be it glass containers, ingredients, and other items. The pieces we need to fulfill orders are getting harder and harder to resource. I'm hoping to switch my thinking and find a new path as we have been so very successful until up to this point. Can Metronomics help owners and managers of small business in the reinvention process? And this is from Nancy in Vermont.
Oh, I love that question, Nancy. Amazing. I'd say 4, 5, 6 of my clients, and I don't have that many clients, so that's almost all my clients have supply chain issues. I just want to say that out loud. I think everyone listening in, if you have anything to do with manufacturing, building, there's been a supply chain issue over the last 3 years. What we've done with that, Nancy, is we've really actually focused in, looked at, you know, what was working, of course, acknowledged the environmental, you know, pressures that we're having. And we've actually leveraged that collaborative discussion in those meetings. You know, we're talking daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly. It was the number one thing to solve for my clients. And so we were able to reimagine how were we still going to deliver what the customer needs, what the customer is going to buy at a profit through a different way for us to serve that need. And I would say, I've seen the incredible creativity on supply chain over the last 3 years with my clients, whether they're sourcing ingredients, some are, you know, manufacturing, you know, food and drink, others are manufacturing hard goods, electronics, and that we just had to get a lot more creative and look outside the box than the traditional way. We did evaluate looking at our current way and just looking at the supply chain challenges, but Metronomics actually sets it up so that we can have that collaborative discussion on a regular basis in order to evolve and iterate what we're doing. Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day when we get those external pressures.
Okay. Can you give sort of a successful example? Because what was coming to my mind, but I don't know about that of the other listeners or viewers, is this one mentions containers, for instance. So for containers where maybe in the past they've used plastic and they can get glass, and it turns out that that's actually going to be healthier. So do you now alter your marketing to say, we now have glass because, you know, it doesn't it doesn't leak or leach any sort of plastics into your product, so it's better? And does that now not only solve the problem, but maybe bring on even more clients?
Yeah, I mean, what we did with each and every one of our clients who are there were so many challenges. Supply chain was one of them, of course. Once we got execution and cash and everything settled down, which we then went and focused on the core customer's needs at that time. And we kept evolving, you know, we look at those needs on a monthly basis and we prioritize the needs. So with any of the supply chain clients, as you know, they were having to change out parts, packaging for sure, change out. We actually, you know, look, and we did this in very, very fast cadence. And I'm going to recommend, you know, a cadence to actually look at this in a moment. But for some of our clients, they, you know, monthly was good, but most of our clients were, we did it on a 13-week race, what we call 13 weeks, because a quarter is 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we actually met, and they called them, you know, we can talk about 3HAG later, but they actually called them 3HAG Fridays or 3HAG Tuesdays or Wednesdays, whatever it was. And this was a 2-hour block where, you know, the strategic piece, because I consider supply chain part of our connected to our strategy and execution. So on one side of it, we need, you know, every week, 2-hour block, we step through the 3-Hagway, the strategy system framework, in order to create confidence that what we're going to choose, because that's what you're talking about, Alan, if we're going to change out the glass, you know, we have to be confident that that is going to be valuable and valued by our core customer. So we actually increased the cadence to a weekly cadence to, you know, create our own confidence in that choice, that decision that we are making, and then take it out to market. And we were doing that like on a really, you know, like my background, a lot of people don't know, I come from, you know, software developer back in the day. And, you know, before Agile was a thing and all the methodologies were a thing, we actually ran 13-week races every quarter. And, but what this does, you know, and Nancy, you know, listening in, that it's set out in 3-Hagway, it's set out in Metronomics as well, the prescription of the steps to take. And the 13 weeks, do it once a week until you get confidence in your decision, and then you can take it out to market. And, you know, frankly, I think every one of my clients run 3-Hag Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as their strategy meeting in order to stay focused. And a lot of people think supply chain is on, you know, the execution side. Yes, if you've got it all mapped and it's working. But when it's not working and we have to make some better, faster decisions on, you know, what's mm-hmm. happening, what we're going to deliver, it comes all the way up to the leadership team to get comfortable with that. And we need to do it quickly. We all know that over the pandemic, we did a lot of things quickly with our hair on fire.
Now, I think we've probably teased it out enough, because I know that I'm still very curious, but share with us, what does 3-Hag stand for?
Okay. Yeah. So, and 3-Hag is the glue to Metronomics, which is interesting that that book came out first. But the 3-Hag way is a strategic execution system. And it, you know, it grew up, honestly, from us being stuck in my first company, right? And we're trying to figure out, we raised all this money, we told people, here's our super wild ass guess for 5 years out. They gave us a lot of money, and then we had to deliver on it. But that's a really hard thing to do. So a 3-Hag stands for a 3-year highly achievable goal. And it's a bit of a play off of Jim Collins' BHAG. His BHAG, if anyone has one, it's a 10 to 30 year goal. It's your guiding North Star. It's your big, hairy, audacious goal. Mm-hmm. And what we found is we had one of those. We had our 10 to 30 year goal. We had our 12 month goals. And then we had this big gap in between. And so, you know, we were venture backed. We had a venture backed board. You know, when your board meetings go to every month, like going to the dentist, you know, you're not doing so well. And so we decided to take a risk and put our 3-year highly achievable goal to the board with the strategy, right? Exactly what we're going to hit in 3 years, right down to what we call widgets, our widgets. Mm-hmm. Widgets are the things that flow through your business that you control. And a 3-Hag is your line in the sand 3 years out. Now, if you can imagine with me, if you today, anyone listening in, answered these 5 questions. What's your gross revenue going to be 3 years from now? Well, how much cash do you want in the bank 3 years from now? How many of what do you need to sell in that third year? What are the key capabilities, 3 to 5 key capabilities that must be true? You must have them in order to deliver that. And then what do you want to be known for? If you were to write that down, right? Just write that down, like write down on a piece of paper. Most people write it down and feel very uncomfortable. They feel uncomfortable because they don't even want to tell anybody what they wrote down, right? Because then if you tell someone, you have to do it.
Yeah.
It must be true, or you have to make it true.
Well, and so it sounds like, but not only are you telling somebody, you're telling a board that is in
yes.
charge of the money.
Yes. Yeah. So we did that. And the thing was, is that we just didn't write, like we did just write it down. I just want to say that out loud in the beginning. But, you know, we had built up a strategy system based off of, you know, Michael Porter's, you know, strategy flow, and we had this execution flow. But the thing that we didn't have was this path from the quarter we were in today, let's call it quarter one, to quarter 12, 3 years from now. We didn't have it all mapped out. We needed to map out the big moves. We needed to forecast the cash, the build of the revenue, find the gaps that we had to fill. And if we focused in on this every day, every week, every month, every quarter, right? This is why it's the glue that holds it together. Wow. Because as soon as your team gets together, you can do it as a CEO and you write it down yourself. And you're like, okay, I don't think I want to show anyone. But if you collaborate with your whole team, which is best practice, collaborate with your whole team, come up with a number, agree to the number. People walk out of that meeting going, we got to make that number right. We've got to get that number. We have to be confident in the number. And then we start the validation process. And that validation process comes out of focusing in on the right things that we want to do in that meeting cadence that I spoke of earlier. It is like, that's the thing that unlocked all of us. And as a coach, I was in coaching some CEOs and teams probably for 3 or 4 years. And I'd met some other coaches along the way. And they asked me what this three hag thing was. And I was like, yeah, I thought everybody had one. I thought I was the one that missed the message on it. It's not even written about in Metronome Effect. Like I didn't even include it because I didn't think it was the thing. But the more I coached and the more coaches learned of it, and they said, can we have it? Like, can we go do it with our companies? And I said, sure. You know, and I was literally at a Grow Summit in the U.S. where one of the coach's clients, announced to me, was up on stage telling their war story of, you know, their really heartfelt, like they were stuck. And then they, you know, established their three hag. They used the methodology. They 3,000% growth over the last 3 years. And, you know, when they were asked, well, what do you attribute it all to? They said, it's all about the three hag. And like, I almost fell out of my seat, honestly. And it's actually why Three Hag Way exists, because, you know, there's 2,000 people in that room. But everyone's like, we want the three hag too. And I was like, I'm going to write it down. I'll write that down.
That's
how it came to be.
All right. We're speaking with Shannon Byrne-Susco, and we're talking about Metronomics, the united system to grow up your team, company, and life. And Shannon, we're going to take a break. When we come back, can you talk a little bit about how you can use some of these same things in your life?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're watching or listening to Answers Network. We're speaking with Shannon Byrne-Susco. And when we went to break, I asked Shannon, we've been talking about Metronomics and how this works in your business. Share a little bit about how people can use it in their life.
Yeah, so you know, why we added that into the title, we just thought it was really, really important. And I mentioned earlier about getting 40 hours back in my week by just putting a huddle in, right? 40 hours back. It allowed me to spend more time with family, friends, and doing the things I love to do. And we know leaders, when they're stuck, even in a high growth company, it's going so fast. And we think we need to just throw more time at it. So that's part of the play on this, is that when we get this system in place, and I've had the experience myself personally using this system, I've had, you know, all my clients using the system, they know they get time back in their life. But the funny thing is, when we're busy leaders, we don't necessarily know what we should do. Like, what else is there, right? You know, we have families and whatnot, but what else is there for us? And so one of the things that I always recommend, I use every 90 days to this date. We probably created it back in 2000, which is what we call a personal one-page plan. And this is available off our website, so you can download it off metronomics.com. A personal one-page plan that allows us to, and I use it every 90 days, just like I use the same framework in our business, but I do it for me personally and with my family. So it's, you know, what's your core purpose? What's your 10 to 30 year goal, right? And I usually pick 10 as personally, what's my 10 year goal? Then, you know, I go, what's my 3 year goal personally? And I then break it down in, and I've seen lots of different ways to break this down, but usually it's like friends, family, finance, faith, fitness. You can pick your categories, but you write them down. And then you go, 1 year from now, what's my goal? Right. And you can then you write down your priorities around that. And then you go, what do I need to do in the next 90 days? Mm-hmm. Right. Very similar. And so, you know, I roll this every 90 days. So it's December. I know before January starts personally, I will pull that out. I will actually look at it. I'll evolve it, especially, you know, funny enough, a lot of people go, well, don't you always do a brand new one, rolling a new calendar year? Well, I think I was wired to school. So I always do it in September. I sort of roll my new year. I don't know. I love school. Yeah. But every quarter I'm looking at it. And it's those simple questions. But what I find working with leaders, we don't spend enough time planning for ourselves because we're worrying about the business. We're worrying about the team. We're worrying about their families and where we have to get to. And we're in the moment. And we don't take time to take a step back and go, where do I really want to go? What do I want to do personally? And then line the business up, line what I'm doing, you know, in my career up with that. Because it's usually the last thing. And I ask a lot of people, do you have a plan? I don't even care if it's in that format. And they normally, most say they don't. Most mm-hmm. say they don't. It's just time.
Yeah. What I love about that is it goes into balance. And it's the same thing we talked about in the very beginning. You know, I read many of the books, and then when podcasts come out, I'm listening to podcasts, or I'm listening, actually, I'm going to date myself, but cassette tapes, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know,
I have them too.
Yeah. and actually, I just moved, so I've just seen them again and go, wow, I still have them.
Right.
But, you know, from incredible thought leaders, but I didn't really have it from the standpoint, if I was focused on the business at that time, it didn't really talk about the balance part of it. And that's one of the things that I love about what you really go into is that it doesn't do them any good if they only work, or certainly if you start burning yourself out at work, you know, you need to have a balance and you need to do the same thing with your family. And to me, that was one of my favorite parts of the whole book.
It's one of my favorite parts too, by the way, but it's left, you know, it's usually left out. The other thing that I'm finding as I work with different, you know, CEOs, you know, some are hired guns, some are like business, they own it and they're getting ready to exit. And, you know, spending time with those leaders, whether it's, you know, one partner, you know, one CEO owns it all, or there's partners, but ensuring that they're planning out after the exit for whatever they plan to do. We see that a lot. People are growing great value in their company. they're wanting to exit, but they don't have a plan for after the fact. And that one-page plan works as well in that situation because it brings it from long-term, near-term to right now. And just to give that focus. But I totally agree. And I think I needed it as much as any of my team members. That was a part of our coaching review cadence that we had in our company, is that everyone had to have their own personal one-page plan as well.
Well, it's beautiful. We have another question that has come in. This one reads, a group of friends who own farms and greenhouses are starting a natural growing cooperative based on the farm to table concept. Our goal is to provide an alternative food resource for several of our surrounding communities. If you have heard of these types of businesses, I would like to know if your book and the Metronomics method could assist us. And this is from Georgiana in Tennessee.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Georgiana. For sure. I've definitely heard of lots of great activity in that industry, in that business. There's so much creativity around just trying to do it different. And the thing is that if there's more than one of you involved, Metronomics will support and improve and speed up your, like, how you will make that impact, right? One of the biggest things that it gets left out of, well, we do talk about it. It's all about speed, but for what reason? It's speed to impact. And time's our scarcest resource. We all know that, and we say it all the time. And so the framework will allow you to get there faster, deliver the impact you're looking for sooner. And that's the thing that, you know, that's why I do this every day, is to actually look to make that impact with, you know, the companies and the types of companies I'm working with. But it will absolutely work. I encourage you to take a look at it.
Yes. And I just want to also thank Georgiana. I love the fact that you're doing that. I wish that our government would be helping groups like yours rather than subsidizing some of the very, very large commercialized companies out there, because I think that what you're doing is the future. And I think it's going to be great for all of us. So
absolutely.
Thank you, Georgiana. Another question. I'm just kind of checking on our time. We have about 10 minutes. So it says, we have provided superior service to families in need of mental health services for over 20 years. As mental health services are becoming greater need and more families are being driven below the poverty level via inflation and the rise of cost of basic needs, a greater percentage of our clients are funded via county services. Unfortunately, many counties have frozen or reduced what we can charge, advising us that they will find other vendors who will provide the services for less. The families we work with love us. Some have complained about inexperienced people being forced on them by government employees who make them feel that they don't deserve the help or should be happy with what they are given. One parent stated, what happened to government employees being of service to citizens. Do you feel that your book could help us in this area, or what other suggestions might you have? And this is from Robert in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, number one, you know, definitely it will help. And why I'm like just even, you know, hesitating a little bit is that, you know, when we think about, and I think about what you're doing and what you're doing every day, you know, that's an amazing service and support and much needed. And so the framework's there to help reduce time, reduce dollars, and improve the collaboration for, you know, the goals that you're looking to actually deliver on. And that's a pretty important goal. So the answer is yes. And I know there's a team of you working on this. It will improve that. It will allow you to look at how can you create, you know, how can you deliver that value in the perception that needs and the dollars you need to actually be, you know, deliver within. Your customers, your clients, the people you're servicing are obviously, you know, like how you do it. Now it's a matter of figuring out how do you deliver that value? How can you do it? Not necessarily for less, but you need to do it in a way that will evolve with, you know, what the marketplace needs right now and what the environment that you're playing in is looking for. And Metronomics will allow you to not only get that, you know, get a plan in place, but it'll allow you to keep up with the environmental pressures that every business, every organization is facing today, and they're all different. And so that's the best thing around it. It speeds up that time that you need.
I appreciate that. Let's talk on that subject a little bit, but kind of on a bigger scale, because I think this might be an area that many, many businesses are having to deal with. You know, we all know, obviously, you know, Amazon is out there. And so, you know, we have many small businesses out there that are struggling. They're struggling to compete in some of these areas. What are some things that they can do, be it that one, which is a service business, but also in business that are providing a product, some of the things that people may not have thought of that they can do to be able to still compete with some of these behemoth businesses that that are in some cases making it very difficult for them to continue to make a profit.
Yeah, so both of the businesses I founded, we founded from the very beginning, like day one, ground up, ground zero. And we ended up in marketplaces with elephants. And Three Hag Way comes from that. And the steps in Three Hag Way allows any size business, and I recommend small to medium sized businesses more than ever, to take a step back. It doesn't take long to get really clear on who your core customer is today, what their top three needs are. And a core customer is one that buys at a profit. And maybe that's obvious, but I need to say that out loud, right? But the second thing that you want to do after that, and you need to really know your market inside out. And I'm going to say this out loud. Most companies are not experts in their market. And you need to be an expert in your market, because the next step is, we call it an attribution map. There's many different versions of this, but we do this at a company level. It's very simple to do. You're going to create the characteristics of your marketplace. You're going to map how your organization serves those characteristics. You're going to pick two competitors, maybe three, the ones that you talk about the most, you bump into the most, and you're going to map them onto that graph as well. And this is all fully done out on our site. There's webinars, there's so much on this, because this is key. It's a great question you ask. You've got to have a look and see where you are. Where do you fit in the marketplace in context with the other competitors, the elephants, as well as other small ones? And you have to understand whether you are on your own dimension, or are you on a dimension by yourself? The thing that why I'm saying all this about dimensions is that we are not competing to be the best. We'll lose if we're competing to be the best in business. Okay. In sport, that's different. In business, if we're competing to be the best, we'll lose. If we're competing to be unique, we will win. And unique means we need to position our organization in a place that our core customers value, that's a bit different, that's on a different level than the others. And so if I take the example of my first business, we looked the exact same as the big elephants in our marketplace, exactly the same. I drew that graph with my leadership team and went, oh, well, that's obvious. Right? We're just in a race to the bottom over price. We might as well exit this business now, right? You know, we are that sure. And so, but we looked at it and we said, okay, let's take a look at the whole market. You know, who's playing in our arena? Let's have a look at this graph. Let's see if there's another way we could go to market, either with the same core customer, or the core customer is going to be a little bit different. And we ended up, our core customer evolved from, you know, this business. We sold business to business, and we ended up changing, and we still sold business to business. We just changed who our core customer is going to be. We did that, and we didn't do it like overnight. We had to like plan and work towards that, but we moved quite quickly. That graph that I just talked about, the attribution map, you can find it in Three Hag Way and Metronomics, is a game changer. It is the thing I love doing most with companies, because a company then can see where they're positioned in the market relative to others and how and what they need to do to actually differentiate themselves from the big elephants and the little, you know, maybe some of the other small to medium sized companies out there. I think I do that every quarter with every client.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that I really enjoyed with the book was, you know, I felt like there was a roadmap, you know, and so it was like, okay, it isn't just here, you know, read all of this stuff, but here's actually a map. You can now go step by step. So
yes.
You know, along the lines of a roadmap, for some of our the people that are just now doing startups, you know, again, with the pandemic and everything, I'm talking to a lot of people that have left a larger company and they're doing their own thing. Yes. They got so used to working from home that they went, you know what, I'm going to now do my own, which I think yes. is beautiful. But describe a little bit, we've got about 4 minutes, of the road from startup to global enterprise yeah. and how the Metronomics way,
right.
How that path is so important yeah. to get to the success they're looking for.
Yeah, it's a great question. My second business, this existed. My first business, we created it, we built it, we used it, we exited successfully. Mm-hmm. My second business, we did not open the door until we had our 3HAG, the whole thing mapped out, everything described in 3HAG way. That's all the strategy, the execution, our business model, everything was mapped before we opened the door. And my partner in my second company, he was just like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Like I can, you know, it's like 10 years ago right now in this month, let's go. And I'd go, just wait. Like we got to finish doing this work because we need to understand how we're going to position the company in the market so that when we open the door, so anyone who's just opened a company, started a company, like congratulations, but there's nothing better than writing this down and drawing these pictures because you will evolve them as you continue to learn more and evolve in the marketplace. And so we did everything. Step one, all the way through, there's, you know, 10 steps in 3HAG way to actually open the door. That's the foundation of Metronomics. We opened the door. We started with our daily huddles, our weeklies, our monthlies, our quarterlies. We had it all on a one-page plan, which is the foundation that comes from Rockefeller Habits. And we like, I'm really proud of our second company. We customer funded our second company. We did not venture back it. We didn't put our own money in. We didn't use our own credit cards. We actually came up with a business model that would customer fund the business. And so it meant that our value proposition had to be really, really sound. And I just want to say it was 2008. Think about the year of 2008. Yeah. That's one of the toughest years, you know, we had in 100 years, and we customer funded it. So I can't encourage you enough. We wrote it out prescriptively so that a startup, a new early stage business, this should, you know, get you going in the right direction or confirm you're going in the right direction. We're always looking for confidence to make better, faster decisions.
Shannon, I just want to thank you so much. I wish we had another hour because I am so enjoying this. Now you mentioned the website, but I want to go over mm-hmm. that again. So if anybody has questions, and I know that you have lots of yes. resources there for yes. them. And again, for those of you, if you're driving and stuff, don't try to write this down, but it's metronomeunited.com.
It's metronomics.com.
Metronomics.com.
Yes,
we've also evolved.
We evolved. We've gone to metronomics.com. We thought we better make it easy.
Okay, so it's metronomics.com.
Yes.
Again, if you're driving or something like that, I'll make sure that it's on our Answers Network site so that you can get it there as well. Shannon, what's next?
What's next? Well, you know, the big thing for the Metronomics community, we are hosting a global, you know, growth summit conference in Whistler, British Columbia, my hometown, ski resort, summer resort, mountain bike resort. We're bringing in some great thought leaders from around the globe, strategists. We've got Alex Osterwalder coming. We've got Talis Texera coming. And we're going to cover all the systems, right? The cultural system, human, you know, cohesive, strategy, execution, cash. It's lined up for that. And it's, you know, we know that teams that learn together win together. And that's what this is all about. 2 days of learning in the mountains in beautiful Whistler, okay. British Columbia.
So when is it? And is all the information on the website?
Yeah, it's May 16th and 17th, 2023. And all the information is on metronomics.com. 16th. And we would love to host others. We have so far, you know, it's actually really, we just launched it, just opened it up for registration, and it's actually filling faster than we thought, and from a nice global audience. I think it's going to be a ball.
I would love to talk more about that as well. Maybe as we get closer to that date, I'd love to have you come back, tell us more about what's going on and who's going to be there. And I just really want to acknowledge you and thank you for what you're doing, because I want people to understand how much of a difference this makes to be able to help people grow their businesses and, again, balance that with your family. I think there's a lot of people that are going to benefit from this across the board. So, again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it, Alan.
You're very welcome. All right. And for everybody out there, be with us next week when we're going to be joined by Eric Qualman. He is the author of The Focus Project, The Not So Simple Art of Doing Less. So now here we just spoke to you about balance and how you can balance things as long as you set up the right structure. Now here's a way to maybe do it by doing less. So please plan on checking that out as well. And visit our archives of past interviews. You can do that at Answers Network, or you can just subscribe to the show through Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio host, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spreaker, and so many other platforms. And if you like what you hear, please spread the word, leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, please remember, stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and spread the word. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.